enslavers reported that he often has his wool dressed in the macaroni taste. Some black men in the 18th century combed their hair up, bunching it high over their forehead. And Pompey fused this inclination with an of-the-moment trend. The macaroni style emerged in North America in the 1770s when wealthy English colonists began to imitate the exaggerated pompadours of Italians, building the foretop of their toupees ever higher. Pompey must have been highly fashion conscious to incorporate the practice so speedily and to execute it with such flair. Perhaps the frustrated printers shortened Pompey's name to Pomp in their account of his escape in order to poke fun of the man, his new style, and the spectacle of fashion that he had become. No matter, Pompey was doubtless growing comfortable with their censure. He had chosen a partner they scorned. They referred to her as a wench, whom he calls his wife. Then he had committed an infraction they deemed worthy of incarceration. And finally, he had tested their patience and displayed his own cunning by breaking out of the bridewell. Pompey's defiance, though, had only begun. If the fleets repossessed the audacious man after his 1774 escape, it was not for long. Pompey joined the British forces at the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, and he evacuated Boston with them in March of 1776. Together, they went to New York City, which was, at this point, a bastion of British power and royalist sentiment. In New York, Pompey printed against the American cause under the supervision of loyalist pressman Alexander Robertson. In the end, Pompey's British allegiance won him his liberty. When the British left New York in 1783, they brought with them some 3,000 black people, most of whom, like Pompey, had deserted rebellious American enslavers to join the British ranks. Pompey sailed alongside Alexander to Port Roseway, Nova Scotia, on a ship with black loyalists from plantations as far as Georgia and South Carolina.